Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Health impacts of climate change are detailed in a new state report. As Rachel Waldholtz from Alaska's Energy Desk reports, it includes both physical and mental effects.
The report from the State Health Department tries to predict the effects if current climate forecasts hold true. Sarah Yoder is the lead author. She says she was a little taken aback by what they found.
Just how broad exactly all these potential health impacts are.
Impacts from infrastructure damage to new diseases. The report notes that thawing permafrost can disrupt water and sewer lines, undermine health clinics, and damage roads, making access to healthcare and basic sanitation more difficult. Thinner sea and river ice can make travel and subsistence hunting more dangerous. More wildfires can worsen air quality. Warmer temperatures could allow the spread of insects carrying Lyme disease or the West Nile virus. These are all predictions for the future. But state epidemiologist Joe McLaughlin says the future may already be here.
The challenge is that many of these potential impacts have not been well studied and definitively linked to climate change.
Then there are the impacts on mental health, like solastalgia. The report describes solastalgia as the sense of loss people experience because of unwanted environmental changes to their homes, disorienting shifts that can lead to anxiety and depression.
Just talk to some of your friends and neighbors here in Anchorage and just ask them how do they feel about the last several winters.
Or on the more severe end, it can define the stress for an entire community facing relocation. He says the impacts of climate change will unfold over decades, but the time to start planning is now. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholtz in Anchorage.
The Fairbanks City Council is looking at limiting the number of marijuana businesses in the city. It already caps alcohol-related operations, and Mayor Jim Matherly introduced a draft ordinance Monday to adopt standards governing density and other aspects of the marijuana industry. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Matherly introduced a draft of his proposed ordinance in Monday's work session, saying it's time for the city council to establish some limits on the number of marijuana-related businesses it allows.
The city council is going to address how many different facilities we want to allow in the city limits, and that includes marijuana stores, cultivation facilities, testing facilities, and product manufacturing facilities.
Matherly says he doesn't yet have a firm number in mind as to how many marijuana-related businesses would be appropriate for a city with a net population of just over 26,300, but the mayor says he hopes he and the council will be able to come up with what he calls the right density of the businesses based on population.
I don't want to have 50 of them open in the city. I don't think the voters want that either.
Matherly said in an interview before the work session that he wants the council to develop a standard like the one the state uses to determine the number of alcohol-related businesses it allows in a community.
For instance, one per several thousand people, much like we do now with alcohol and alcohol-related stores, bars, and licenses.
City Clerk Danielle Snyder told council members during the work session that using the state Alcoholic Beverage Control Board's guidelines, the city would be allowed one each of those categories of alcohol-related businesses per 3,000 people.
That means we could have 9 package stores, 9 clubs, 9 bars.
But Snyder added, Fairbanks obviously has many more bars and package stores than that.
Our beverage dispensaries, which are generally our bars that have full alcohol service, we are way, way, way over. We have 41. We're supposed to have only 9. We have 41. And our package stores, we're also supposed to have only 9, and we have 15.
By way of comparison, the State Marijuana Control Board lists 31 active and operating cannabis-related businesses in Fairbanks. And during Monday's regular city council meeting, members approved a business license application for one more cultivation facility, subject to the Tanana Herb Company obtaining a certificate of occupancy for its building in an industrial area around the Alaska Railroad Terminal.
We're still in uncharted territory. Alcohol has been around for a very long time.
Matherly's draft resolution also would address concerns that have been expressed by many area residents on the location that marijuana-related businesses would operate. The draft measure would add a provision that says the council may consider whether issuing a business license would, quote, adversely affect the health, welfare, or public safety of the neighborhood in which the marijuana establishment is proposed to be located, or otherwise would not be in the best interests of the public, unquote. Matherly says he proposed the new ordinance in an attempt to regulate the industry that's been thriving in Fairbanks since Alaska voters passed a statewide ballot measure legalizing pot in 2014. The mayor says new regulations are needed now because he expects 9 more marijuana business license applications to come before the council soon.
Time's of the essence a little bit because you can see the list here.
He says he hopes the council will complete its work on time to introduce a final version of the ordinance by the end of the month. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Fairbanks brothers Reese and Logan Hahnemann again raced to top finishes yesterday as the U.S. National Cross Country Ski Championships culminated at Anchorage's Kincaid Park. 28-year-old Reese Hahnemann, who last week won the Skate Technique Sprint, added the Classic Sprint title Monday.
And that was Reese Hahnemann, who gets the second National Championship of the Week.
I'm just couldn't be more happy. I feel super blessed that I could double up, and just everything went right, and I'm on form right now, so to feel that strong right when it counts right now in January.
Reese Hahnemann's 24-year-old brother Logan was fourth in the 1.6-kilometer classic sprint, but more importantly, he's in top position to be named to the U.S. Olympic team. Logan Hahnemann says the sprint selection is based on qualification races held at the start of each sprint competition.
Whoever is the number one on the points list after the nationals gets a spot at the Olympics. So super exciting. But I'm waiting until I get an official word before I really soak it in. But yeah, there's a potential for it to be outrageously exciting here.
It's possible that both Hahnemann brothers could be named to the Olympic team, as Reese is in second place in the sprint qualification standings. Another Alaskan sibling duo likely cemented spots on the Olympic team with their performances at the national championships. Anchorage's Caitlin Patterson claimed all 4 women's titles, while her brother Scott took one of the men's races. Also in the running for the Olympic team is Anchorage's Tyler Cornfield, who won 1 race at Nationals and was on the podium in 2 others. Several other Alaska-based skiers, including former World Cup sprint champion Keegan Randall of Anchorage, have already been named to the team based on World Cup performances in Europe. South Central Alaska's first sled dog race drew 28 teams over the weekend. As KTNA's Philip Manning reports, the Knik 200 start had to be moved to Willow due to low snow, but the Iditarod qualifier still provided an early season test run for mushers and their dogs.
One musher who hoped to gain valuable experience in the Knik 200 is Ellen King. Ellen is the daughter of 4-time Iditarod champion Jeff King and is well on her way to qualifying for the Iditarod as well. Saturday's race start was also Ellen King's 26th birthday, and her goal for the race was simply to get herself and her team through the course safely.
10 fingers, 10 toes for me, and to get everybody around and around happy and healthy.
Talkeetna musher Anya Rodano's team was next to Ellen King's in the preparation area. Rodano has already qualified for this year's Iditarod, and her goal was to train her team and work on deciding which dogs will accompany her as she attempts the run to Nome in March.
Just to introduce them to the craziness of a race start and races and other dog teams and camping and stuff like that.
Further ahead in the pack, Nicholas Petit won the Knik 200. Other notable top 10 finishes included Ray Reddington, Lance Mackey, and Scott Jansen. In Talkeetna, I'm Philip Manning.
And I'm Dan Bross.